everyone. Thanks for having me. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about why I'm standing here in front of you, and then we're going to get right into it. We're not here till 11 o'clock, but we could be. The space for Gads is massive. We're probably going to finish around 8, so I'll condense it as much as I can. My name is Emma Boyden. My company is called Outside the Box, and basically I help business owners who are really, really struggling with their marketing. I help them understand their ideal client, come up with clear content, help them attract the right people, and help them make more money. Is that good? Yeah, mm-hmm. We all want that. And I work from this beautiful county here, Donegal. If you haven't been up, please do visit. It's always as sunny, I promise you. But basically, it started when I was around 18. I read a book on the psychology of shopping. So does anybody know why they put the milk and the bread at the back of the store? Yeah, they play slow music so you'll walk slowly through. They put items at eye level that they want you to buy. Everything is designed by a psychologist, and I thought that was really, really interesting. And the more I read about it, the more I was like, this is what I want to do. So I went and did my degree in psychology and did a few other things, had a quarter life crisis and went to the Gaiety School of Acting for a year, thought I'd be famous. Still working on that one. I traveled and I did lots of different things, and I worked in lots of different jobs in sales and marketing and all that kind of thing. And I always was like this little guy here. So I always knew I wanted out, and I wanted to start my own business and be out on my own. And really the last position I was in, I was working with the Chamber of Commerce in Letterkenny, and I was working with hundreds of business owners on developing their brand through the chamber. And what I could see with their marketing was they were all doing it the same and expected different results. So they didn't really want to stand out. They were kind of copying their competitors, looking at what their competitors were doing. They were throwing ads in the paper, throwing stuff up online with no real plan around it. And I really wanted to work with people who wanted to do it differently. So I got on the phone and I got 2 new clients, and then I left that job on a Friday and started Outside the Box on a Monday, and that was 6.5 years ago. So since then, I've worked with everything from politicians to beauticians, less of the politicians these days, they're too hard to handle. But business owners, really, who are struggling with that marketing, who want to come up with content that actually speaks to their ideal client. And I bring the psychology in by understanding who you're speaking to, so they feel engaged with you. They build a relationship with you, they get to know, like, and trust you, and they want to buy from you, be that online or offline. And today I'm going to talk about Facebook ads. But the first thing I'm going to talk to you about is your ideal client and how. So let's say you put an ad in the paper. You pay for it, you put it in, everything's great. But if that ad doesn't speak to your ideal client, if that ad doesn't interest them, you're wasting your money. It's the exact same online. So I see a lot of people doing Facebook ads and they're saying to me it doesn't work. There's a few tweaks for sure that I'll show you tonight that will make it more specific to your ideal client. But the main thing is probably the content of the ad you're putting out mightn't be engaging enough. So the first thing I'm going to do is engaging content. The second thing I'm going to do is the technical how-to of the ad. Sound good? I love audience participation, so feel free to scream at me. Can I just like maybe get a show of hands of who is a business owner here? Okay, and who's running it for events maybe or something like that? Yeah. So those that aren't business, okay, perfect. And are you working for other organizations? Everyone else probably, or helping out? Yeah. Okay, perfect. So it's all applicable. So what I want us to think, I often have that question, how does that make you feel? You're on my metaphorical couch. The secret to getting things done is to act. So even if you took 2 things from tonight and did them, that would be a win for me and a win for you. Just as long as you don't go home, have a glass of wine, and forget about this Donegal crazy person that was standing in front of you. I'll also try and speak a little bit slower because I realise my accent is quite strong. But basically, if you write down 2 things and go and do that, I can guarantee you'll get results from tonight. So when I work with clients, they often say things to me like, should I be on Facebook? Should I do this thing in this paper? Should I be on this radio? But the first step is thinking about the end goal. So a lot of people say to me, I don't know if my marketing's working. I don't know if what I'm doing is working. That means you never set a goal in the first place. So tonight I want us to take 30 seconds and set some goals so you know if it's working or not. So I'm going to come on to the second one. I'm just going to skip those 3 slides. So I want you to think tonight, in 3 months' time, if you were to do ads, you were to put good content out there, what would you want the outcome to be? Who would you want to reach, and what would you want them to do? That's all I want you to think about. So if you have a pen and paper or your phone, type that in now. I'm not going to ask you, so feel free to say you want 1 million in 3 months. Feel free to say whatever you want. Don't think about the how. I just want you to write down that goal. Okay. could be, I want to sell X amount of product, I want X amount of people at my event, I want X amount of more followers, I want 10 new people for my service, 5 new people.
One
new person, yeah. At 10 grand.
Yeah.
So with any marketing you're doing, this is the first step. Writing the end goal and working back from there. They did a study in Harvard, and they got people to 84% of the class had no goals, 13% of the class had written goals but no plans, and 3% of the class had written goals with a plan. In 10 years, they looked back at everyone in the class, and the 13% that had written goals and no plans were making 3 times as much as the 84%. But the 3% that had written goals and plans were making 10 times as much as everyone else. I'm just saying that for motivation for you guys. It's a true story, obviously, as well. But really, when I see successful and not so successful entrepreneurs and people I'm working with, it's the people that set the goals and do a plan towards the goals that reach them and make more money, reach their ideal clients. So the first thing is setting that goal. The second thing is looking at who we're talking to. So when it comes to your Facebook ads or any ads you're doing, why do you think you need to understand who you're talking to? Audience participation time.
So you can connect directly with them.
So Facebook ads will allow you to contact people based on their age, their location, their thoughts, their feelings, their interests. If you don't know that, then there's no point in starting that ad. They will also, the content of your ad should speak to your ideal client. So whenever I am doing posts on Facebook, whenever I'm writing blogs, whenever I'm doing my videos, the first thing I think about is who am I talking to and what they want to hear. Quite often I see the opposite with business owners. They're saying what they want to say rather than what the client wants to hear. They need to know all this information, and I need to give them all this information. My dog's called Spot, we've been here since 1954, it's a family-run business. What if I don't tell them about that time we sold this one product? And you overload your stuff with information. You've about 3 seconds online to get people's attention. So knowing who your ideal client is, what interests them, and how you can engage them with content is the difference between an ad that works and an ad that doesn't work. So the first thing I want us to do is again take a couple of minutes and think about who the ideal client is based on two things. One is a demographic, so that's their age, their location, their income level, if that is of interest to you guys, whether they're a male or a female or both, whether they're from Ireland or they're expats, those kind of demographic stuff. And then I want you to think about their psychographic. We're going to do psychographic. Who would like me to do this for them? Perfect, yeah, what's your name?
Mo. Yeah.
Yeah, great. So what's your business or who are you here for?
Well, the bit I want to concentrate on is booking, hens booking workshops with me.
Okay.
For afternoon activities.
Okay, so a hen, yeah. So you're looking for not the bride, but the friends of the bride?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, what age group is it usually?
I think 25 to 35. I mean, obviously there's outside that, but that would be my main demographic.
Okay, so you're looking for women aged 25 to 35 in what location?
Anywhere in Ireland.
Okay, all
and,
of Ireland.
Well, and anyone who's going to come to Ireland for an end party as well.
Okay,
I'm
so Ireland and UK?
Yeah.
What are you doing, sorry? Explain that again.
I run craft workshops for all ages, but the one I'm going to focus on is the hens. So it would
yeah.
be flower crown design, pottery, painting,
making. So you're mobile, you go to them
yeah.
or whatever. Okay.
Yeah, run a 2-hour workshop with them.
Okay, so it's a specific type of hen that isn't just looking for a cocktail kind
yeah.
of night, they're actually looking for something that
something
kind of
different.
Something
yeah.
different. Okay, great. So if that's a demographic, their age, their location, their female. What you can actually do in Facebook ads, and I'm going to show you this in a minute, You can literally target people who are friends of newly engaged people. You can target women from that age to that age who are interested in crafts. You know, that's where you have a specific ad for them. Your unique selling point with that is that it's something different than the normal willy straws and blow up things and all that good stuff. And what's the psychographic of those people? So what are their beliefs, their values? What do they care about? What is going to pull in their heartstrings?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually asking.
Well, I suppose they need to be creative to some extent.
Mm-hmm. What does a hen, like the chief bridesmaid, care about when she's planning a hen party?
Okay, she cares about everybody having fun,
mm-hmm.
Keeping the bride happy.
Mm-hmm. Hard task.
Yeah. I don't know, I suppose.
Budget, 100%.
Budget, okay.
Because you do have to keep them happy with that as well.
Okay, yeah.
I've given out myself a few times, but a few hands.
That everybody's happy at the end of it, I don't know.
Okay, so let's take those three things. Budget, that everyone's having fun, and that it's something different. So that needs to be the content of your ad. Are you looking for a different affordable hen party? Something that everyone's going to say, whoa, that was amazing. Keep your best friend happy. Make it the best hen of her life. Hopefully there's one. Look here. Literally. So you need to answer the question within the content that they're asking. So understanding, first of all, the demographics, so age, location, all that good stuff, we can target that. But then understanding what they want out of the product that you give and using that within your content. That's where the technical version of a Facebook ad and the content of a Facebook ad work together to get people to click and book and buy your product or service. We'll take the women's event. So do you want to tell everyone about it? Give them a bit of PR there.
Okay, so Emma attended our Women's New Christmas Ladies Lunch a few years ago with Nikki Bradley. She was guest speaker there. So we're organising the sixth one now on the 5th of January. So I do actually have sponsored ads on Facebook at the moment for that, targeting ladies in Sligo, Leitrim, Donegal, Roscommon area.
And the content of that ad, what is it?
So the content of that ad is, it's promoting like a ladies' day. It starts at 2 o'clock with pre-dinner drinks in the Dungeon Bar in Kilmorny Castle. And then it's a four-course dinner with meal then in the Grand Ballroom at 2 o'clock with guest speakers.
Okay, so I'm gonna pick on you a tiny bit here, okay? So this is something we often do when we're putting content out online. We talk about the features rather than the benefits, right? So we're telling you everything you're gonna do on that day and every little bit of it, which is important as well, and it's all good to do that. But what's the outcome of me going there? Why would I go there?
To support a good cause.
Yeah, but let's pretend I'm really selfish and I don't care about that. Why else would I go there? What's in it for me?
So an enjoyable day out with your friends.
Oh, but I could do that in an hour. I'm a pulling at you here, sorry. Okay, so I'm going to just answer my own question. I'm going to get more business. I'm going to network with people who are affluent, high-end, people who need my products and services, right? So it's... That's kind of what I would care about, if I'm honest, right? That's why I went last year. Sorry to tell you. I support a good cause and all that good stuff as well. Have a good time. But that is the number one reason. If I was your ideal client, that's the kind of things I would want to see. Who's going to it? How many people? There's over 100 business owners coming to this event. That's where I want to be.
Over 300
business. So that, you know, I would be targeting different ads, doing, okay, here's what you're getting, but also... come along and meet 300 business owners or 300 women like-minded who are going to help you build your brand, your business, whatever it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's the outcome. Often, like, I don't care how my accountant does my taxes. I want to know I'll pay less tax at the end of it. Do you ever meet someone at a networking event and you ask them what they do and you're thinking, sweet Jesus, why did I ask this question? They are still talking and you still have no idea what they've done at the end of it or what they do at the end of it. Whereas when I talk to people at networking events, they say, what do you do? And I say, I help people get more clients and make more money. That's on my pop-up, which I forgot to put up. Oh my God. It's on my pop-up. It's on my business card. It's on my online ads. Because that's the outcome of working with me. After, I can tell you how I do that for sure. But when you're online, you've got 3 seconds to catch people's attention. I think I have this little goldfish here somewhere. Yep. We actually have a shorter attention span than a goldfish. I'm surprised you're still listening to me, actually. So especially online, if you think about it, you're just scrolling. Like, who here watches YouTube videos? Who here checks the time of that YouTube video nearly every time? Just in case we waste any time on the video. you know, Instagram, it's a 10-second video. I never read 10 seconds. I'm like flicking forward every time. If you're not getting me, you're losing me. So that's where we really need to speak in our ideal clients' language, the things that they really are worried about are the things we can solve for them. So like the hens, we need to tell them not even what you're going to do in that workshop. I mean, they don't really, they care eventually, but the outcome of it is they're going to be happier, you're going to look great, and it's not going to cost you a lot of money. So if you can figure that out for your brand or service, I can't do everyone tonight, unfortunately, but if you can figure out the outcome and start doing your ads based on that and get them to ask you questions. We're not there to give them all the information. We're there for them to message us, get on the phone, or click buy. That's really what we want, to give them more information. And if you think about it, that's what you want, to start a conversation with people online. So you don't want to give it all to them. Like when I say that to people in networking events, I help people get more clients and make more money. They say to me, how? Tell me more. When I used to say I do marketing, sales, PR, social media, people were like, oh, she's going to try and sell me something here. Let's back away. Or they had no idea what I was talking about and didn't ask me anything further. Whereas if you speak in the language of your ideal client, they want to know more. They want to engage with you. And that's when your ads start working. And then you get into the technical stuff. Make sense? Yeah?
Yeah.
So the psychographic bit is like, what things do they have in common? What do they desire or need help with? And how does that relate to your product or service? So if you can figure that out for yourself as well. People buy things mainly on two reasons, desire for gain or fear of loss. If you can play on those things, that's when you really start attracting them as well. So figure out who your ideal client is. And then once we know who they are, we need to know where they are. So this is where we... So who here has a client base of, let's say, men and women, age probably, let's say, 30 plus? If you aren't all putting your hands up, you need to leave the room. Or you've broken arms, I'm not too sure which. Because that's kind of the demographic of Facebook. It is the 30 plus, it's kind of the older generation. Below that, and from about 13 upwards, is Snapchat and Instagram. So definitely somewhere, and if you think about it, when Facebook first came out, it was the younger generation, and then they started moving off it, so it's going to be the same with Instagram, so get on there now, even if your ideal client isn't on there right now. And, you know, I'm on there, if your ideal client was my parent, let's say, I'm going to see something and tell them about it. You're my grandparent, I'm going to see something and tell them about it. So it's always good to start in the networks, even if your clients aren't on it. So just a few, I just wanted to give you a few things as an added bonus here when we're chatting, but a few things I use to help myself on my social media. So I use a thing called Hootsuite. Does anyone use Hootsuite?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can schedule content with Hootsuite. So it means, a lot of people say to me, I don't have time for my social media. I don't believe in the word, I don't have time. We all have the same 24 hours. So, you know, you either haven't made time or you don't want to. But this really helps. I sit down once a month and use Hootsuite and Planoly to schedule my Facebook, my LinkedIn, and my Instagram content. Planoly is quite good because you can actually see how it looks on Instagram. I use a thing called Canva to design up my, it's like graphic design for dummies really, to design up my templates, all that kind of good stuff. I use a thing called Fiverr, if anyone has used that before. It's where you can get services done from a Fiverr upwards. I'm all about shop local though, so if you can get people locally first, use those. Then there is Fiverr, so I use a lady on there to do some graphic design for me as well. I use my Google tools as well, so I'm on Google Places and all these other, I'm using Google keywords in my ads, all that good stuff. If you literally just Google tools, you'll see a list of the tools you can use there. And then YouTube as well. So video is a massive thing within my business. I do a video every Friday on my Facebook page. I've done that on my Facebook, my Instagram, my LinkedIn. I've done that for the past 3 years. If you're doing ads, I will be doing a mixture of video and stand, like image posts. Some people like to consume content through video. Some people like to consume content through a written post. It just depends. If you are doing a video, a few tips on it. Make sure you have captions or subtitles at the bottom of it. Anytime I've looked at my insights within my Facebook videos, about 60% of the people watch it with the sound off. So I really need to have the captions there. You think about it yourself. You're sitting at home watching TV, your partner's sitting beside you, you don't want to press play. Whoever's sitting beside you, you don't want to press play, so you're just watching it. If the captions are there, you can actually read what people are saying. But ad, or on Facebook ads, if you're doing video and putting a Facebook ad on a video, it works really, really well. Another tip as well, if you're doing, has anyone done Facebook Lives?
Yep.
Right now?
Right now. After this, you should do an ad on your Facebook Live and Facebook push that out even more. Because they want you to do lives, they want to promote it, so the more you push it out. Also, social media is about being social and real and all that good stuff. So if you are live, people feel like you're right there with them, they've been engaged with you, all of that good stuff. So that's just some tools that I thought might be useful if you want to take a photo of that or whatever, and use those when it comes to your social and your online presence. And then the content is king, so that's what we were going on, but that's what we were talking about there. So really it's about focusing on what your customer wants, what your company does best, and where those two meet. And mainly when I'm doing my content, I focus on their pain, the solution or the value I can add, and then I put a call to action at the end of it. So if you are doing posts online and on Facebook, and you're doing an ad, you're paying for that to go out, and you're not telling someone where to go, you're losing out. So if you're doing an ad saying, buy my product, let's say book in, you know, you're going to meet all these affluent women, you're going to make lots of money for your business if you go to this event, over 300 women, and then at the very end you don't tell me how to book, or you don't tell me to message you, or you don't tell me to tag a friend, then you're missing out. It's social media as well, we're kind of like sheep, we're like just following it and looking at it, and we're zombies looking through this, and if you don't tell me to do something, I'm more likely not to do it. It's like me saying to you, the difference in me saying to you, clicker, or do you like this clicker? Would you like a clicker like this? If you want to click somewhere to get this clicker, clicker was probably a bad thing to use for explaining that, a lot of words in there. But you have to create a conversation. You have to be social. So in order to do that, you have to ask a question. I don't come in here and give you a blank sentence. I come in here and talk to you. It's the exact same online. So if you can do that with your content, that makes your ad work even better. So I'm going to bring up the Facebook profile. I'm going to go through how to do the ad. Before I do that, any questions? You're all so informed, you got it now. I could probably just leave and be grand. Yeah. Right, okay, I'll bring it up now. Hold on 1 second. So just while that's happening, who here has done a Facebook ad before? Okay, a few of us. Who here has clicked this post to do that ad? Okay, don't ever do that again. Okay, so I'm going to show you the difference. Facebook wants you to click this post because it's really easy to go this post, click, 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 give them money, and then did that work? I'm not quite sure. That's what they want you to do because it's convenient and easy. What you really always should do is when you're on your Facebook, go up to that create and do your ads from there. Has anyone ever done that before?
Yeah.
So it's a much better way to do it. I never advise people to click this post. It's a waste of your time and money. So from now on, we're going to click create ad. And there's a couple. So just to say, some pages don't have that create option, just in case that is your page. And if you don't, you go up to that little arrow there and it'll say create ad, just in case. They've changed it recently enough, so not all pages have migrated over. So we're going to go to create and we're going to go to add. And you're going to come up with a thing called Ads Manager. What do you do with that? Today we're going to just focus on, I've been doing this all day, so it's new, yeah, I'm just going to exercise this. This won't come up when you're doing it. I'm going to make the screen just a little bit smaller so we can see. Okay, not that small. Okay, so today we're going to focus on Facebook Ads 101. These are the basics that you need to know to run an effective ad. There's lots of other things you can do, and I'm going to show you two little things that Johnny and I were speaking about even before today and how it's worked well for us, which is called custom audiences and lookalike audiences. Has anyone used those before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, great. So the main one I use for most of my clients is engagement. That's really what we want, isn't it? People to engage with our posts. So if we click on engagement, and scroll down.
So will I get you a mouse?
No, I think it should be okay.
Okay.
It's like happening after the fact. So then I do it twice, then it goes like psh. So engagement is what I've clicked on. Obviously you can do things like for your conversion on your website, sales, if you have an app for video views. So let's say you want to do one specifically to target your videos, but for the sake of tonight, we're going to do engagement. And I'm going to pull it down here. So you are going to either choose post engagement. So that means you get more comments, likes, clicks on your Facebook posts. Something I've noticed from working with this kind of thing is, and probably you agree with me, you do the same, we're doing less liking and less commenting, especially when it comes to Facebook, but we're still looking. So don't focus all your attention, and even Instagram's taken away the fact that you can see who's liking your posts. So don't be worried too much. Like I had a girl there, she said that someone was looking through her phone, and she's seen all my posts screenshotted, and she said like, oh, what's this about? And she goes, oh, I just screenshot Emma's posts. I said, you do that. You have never liked a post, ever. But she has screenshotted every one of them. So I didn't know that she was still seeing that content. So don't get too hung up on only 10 people like this post or whatever it is. But again, to increase people to engage with it, you need to ask questions, ask them to do it, that good stuff. So post engagement is what we want. Obviously, you can do one for page likes. If you're going to do an ad for page likes only, that ad needs to be strong. That ad needs to give me a reason to like your page. You can't just say, oh, outside the box, give me a like. It has to be, if you look at this, if you do this, I'll give you tips on getting more clients and making more money. That's the thing you'd probably like. What's your unique selling point when it comes to that? What kind of ad could you do that people would click that like? It needs to be strong. If you're going to do any kind of ad, it needs to be strong, but especially for the likes. And then event responses. So if we're doing the women's event for 300 people, you could do it specifically for that event responses. But for the sake of tonight, we're going to do post engagement. And something here that I always do, because when you're going back to look at how this ad is doing, you might be running three or four different ads. So make sure that you're naming the ad of what it is. So women's event, my online program, my course in Kerry, wherever, you know, my hen party course or whatever. So we're naming that, we'll just call it XXX for now. You can just turn off these and ignore them for now. And we're going to continue. So ad set is where we look at your audience, where it's placed, your budget. How many people have spent €50 or more on an ad? Okay, €100 or more? More than 150? More than 1,000? Okay, good. Okay, can I just ask? What your business is on?
It's over interior, so we're a lifestyle furniture shop, so we'd have a lot of different types of customers. So every time we do it, we'd kind of
tailor.
Yeah.
And I suppose if you have to think about how much you're putting on in relation to how many products do you sell to make this worth.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So like I was working with a bathroom company and I said, well, how many baths do you need to sell to make this worthwhile? You know,
Baths
worth maybe some of those are $3,000, you know, so you need to put the investment in for what your return is as well. Can't expect to do a tenner ad for a £3,000 product.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how you choose that as well. How did you find the ads that you put the high level of? Were you doing like €100 a time, €5 a day? Was it €30
a day? We did them randomly, and that's why I came tonight to see if there's a better way of doing them. So again, for sometimes for sales, they doing competitions, I would get an awful lot more sales. Like we did handbags recently, so the amount of sales I got out of the competition versus doing an ad, there's no comparison. So I'm still spending money, but not with ads. So it's just to figure out what's the
mixture of both is probably the answer.
Really,
yeah, yeah. So it's if you're always doing the same thing, people do get bored. It's like always doing the billboard out the road.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, oh, they're there again. Stop seeing it. You know, so it is about mixing it up.
Whereas then, say for, you know, the larger items or for the interior design, that's different. You're doing that more towards branding. You probably might not necessarily sell a given table on a given day, but it puts it in people's memories, and that's why I'd say travel from Cork or the travel. So that's what we're aiming to get out of it a lot of times.
But see, if you had no money to spend on Facebook ads, what I would be concentrating on is good content that gets your ideal client to know, like, and trust you. People will buy something off you if they know, like, and trust you, and if they think you have what they want. Money is just a psychological passing of one thing to another. People find money for what they need and want. I used to do door-to-door sales and for electricity. Best training ever if you want to go out and do that. But a big part of it was if whether they liked me at the door, whether they felt like they could trust me at the door. It's the exact same online. So if you can build that trust, if you can build people going, you know, they are the person to go to for interiors, that's where your ads work even better when you're posting about. This bit as well might help you and everyone, but it might help you as well. So it's a thing called custom audiences here. So I have had clients who have followed me for a year online before they decided to use my product or service. It's very different when you're standing in front of me and kind of get a feel for me, either love me or hate me, don't worry, I don't mind either way. But you know, you figure it out whether you know, like, and trust me quicker. Whereas online, it's a long tail kind of thing, and I call it poking. So it's about poking people online. Here I am, here I am, here I am, here I am. A bunch of people have came to me and go, oh my God, that's right, I kept meaning to message it, and then that video popped up, and that's what I did. I have a client in Dublin who has never met me before, literally booked me just for my online presence. Literally signed up for 3 months based on my online presence only, because she felt like she knew like and trusted me from the stuff I was doing. So there's a warm audience there that you can be tapping into. And the way to do that through Facebook ads is doing a thing called custom audiences. So this is people who have already looked at your content are being retargeted to your content again. So if you click into custom audience here and you go to create new, and we go into custom audience. So I can create a custom audience based on these things. My website, a customer list, app, if I have an app, offline activity, or people who have watched my videos, people who have been on my Instagram business profile. Don't forget, Instagram and Facebook are now the same thing. You can do this ad here. Go through everything, not the same thing, sorry, it's all about the same people, completely different platforms. You can do this ad here and put it through to Instagram as well. So you can do it one time, it'll be on both platforms. So that's why if anybody's looked at your Instagram profile, that you can do it through that. Through your events, so for yourself, for the events, anybody that's been at last year's event would be a good target. So you could do it through that event. To anybody that's liked that event before or been to that event before, you retarget them through this ad. Or just your Facebook page. So for the sake of simplicity, I'm going to do Facebook page, right? So I'll click on this. So this is any people, does that make sense? Yeah, any people who have, okay, sorry.
Anyone.
I have a couple of pages here, so I'm just going to. Anybody who has looked at the outside the box, or who has engaged, sorry, with the outside the box Facebook page in the last 365 days. So in the last year, anybody that has engaged with my page will be targeted. So I know they're already warm, they've already done something on my page, they already kind of know me a little bit, so I'm going to keep retargeting them, going, poke, here I am, here I am, here I am. Sometimes we think, I'm going to annoy people if I post too much. But if you think about it, ads on the radio, you have ads everywhere. It's just reinforcing, and people aren't paying attention. You actually need to touch people about 7 to 13 times before they even start really paying attention to you online. So you need to be there poking them. And then you name that audience, again, just like the other thing, you have to name that audience something.
I call it.
You have to name that audience something that you're going to remember. So Facebook page engagement, 1 year. You know, you might change, then do another one for the last 200 days. You might do it for people who visited my page, people who engaged with a post or another ad. You might do it for people who clicked any call to action button. So a lot of people might have clicked call to action, they might have sent a message, they might have sent the message and then forgot about it. We've all done it. Someone walked through the door, something more important happened, Carnation Street was more interesting, whatever it is, and they're just lost. So we need to retarget them again. So you can do this, you can do a couple of different custom audiences based on each of these, and then once you do your ads, you can retarget. Especially if it's coming up to the launch of something or you're really trying to sell something at that minute in time, it can be quite a good time to do it. Does that make sense? Okay, grand. So I would then create that custom audience, click here, and then every time I go up, let's see, page. So there you can see Facebook page, that's another page I manage, so just SFYL, engage with page. I can click on that, and that's the audience I'd want to be looking at. You can see here a lookalike audience as well. So the same process, I can create. So Johnny and I are the same, right? We both like social media. He's better. We both like social media. We both like digital marketing. We both like online programs. I like... I like Gary Vaynerchuk's page, and he doesn't. Gary Vaynerchuk does an ad, and he targets people who look like me, so he gets Johnny. Johnny looks like me.
Thank you again.
This is great.
Online, he looks like me. You know, he likes the same things as me, he's around the same age, he is in the same location, all of that stuff. So he's likely to like my stuff. So you can get people who look like the people who already like your page, because they're more likely to be interested in your stuff. So like for the women in business, all the women in business who already like your page, they obviously have a lot of friends who are like them as well. We're going to target them. That's what a lookalike audience is. And basically, it's the same thing. So if you go in and create new, and we go to lookalike instead of custom, and again, we just select your source, so you need to select your Facebook page. Other sources, I'm going to just go with my Facebook. You just won't have all this, it's just because I have a few. So, people based in Ireland, or you said the UK as well? Yeah, so people in the UK who look like the audience who like mine, you can put United Kingdom in there. You can't go down to like Donegal, Dublin, Galway, but you can do Ireland, UK, Ukraine, wherever you want to go. And then it'll tell you as the percentage rises, like you could reach about 32k there as you go up. I usually do a few different ones, so 1% of the audience, 2% of the audience, 3% of the audience. I was doing this with a Facebook ads expert, and that's what she said to do. So that's what I do, and it's been working for me. And then again, you go down and...
So you don't go any higher than 3%?
I never do, no.
Yeah, that's what this... It's just going to be less likely to look like the people.
Yeah, it's too wide. 1%
then to 2%, is it? You just go back and have a look and then change it.
So you can do the 1% of the audience and make that one look alike, and then you name that 1%, and then do this all the process again and do it with 2%, and then do the ads and see what's working. Do a split test to see what's working. If you go any higher, it's too wide. So stick with the 1% to 3%. Like 1% of your audience, if you got that, that's 32k, 52k there? 32k? You should have expected it. So, you know, it's quite high. It's a good mix of people. Again, you'll go down to create audience. And the thing about this is that that'll be there then all the time for you to use. If you can click X. Yeah, it'll always be there. Now, if you'll see on the... left hand side of this, there's a little semicircle which will tell you whether your ad is broad or specific. sometimes it's good to have a broad audience, but mainly you want to keep that either in the middle of the green or a little bit more to the specific. And as you move down and change these little bits, I'll show you, that little counter will go over and back. It'll give you the estimated daily reach. I don't know how much I believe the estimated daily results. There's times where they say, oh, you can reach 1,000 people a day, even when I do the budget, and I never reach that, you know. So it's like anything online, it's about trying and testing what works for you, you know, and seeing what you're getting a return off and changing that up as well. So let's go with everyone in this location. Let's do the hands, will we? We'll do the hands one. So you said Ireland, everyone in Ireland, yeah? Not everyone in Ireland, but Ireland is your location. What age group did you say they work in?
25 to 35.
Thank you. 25 to 35. Again, there might be hands that are 65, but they're not our ideal clients, right? There might be hands that are men, but not likely. So let's go woman. Languages isn't really a thing here, but you know, you can put in English if you want. Detailed target. So this is the bit that you don't get if you just click boost post. This is the bit where you can be pinpoint specific, right? So if I put in here, and I will go with your market, right, in a second, but even if my market was parents, let's say. If I put parents in here, I can get parents with children between the age of 18 to 36. 13 to 17, 9 to 12. So if you really understand who your ideal client is, their demographics and their psychographics, for the content, but their demographics for things like this, that's when you can be really, really specific. Like if you had some a product or service for parents with children of whatever age, you can literally pinpoint your target audience there. But for the sake of this, we're doing people who are friends with engaged people, for sure. So, engaged. Now you'll see on this side it says relationship status. It also can say behaviors and interests. So engaged shoppers, engaged marriage, that's interest. So engaged, and if I put in friends. Friends of newly engaged people. That's really what we're going to be looking at. As well as that, you could just put in engaged. And if I scroll down here, here's engaged in the past year, engaged in the past 8 months. Whether the hen should or should not, I'm sure she says to the chief bridesmaid, this is what I want to do, by the way. So it's good to engage with those as well, you know. So having those on your list as well. So you can be as specific, and then you can just do, you know, brides, engaged, like a wider thing as well. So let's just stick that in, let's say engaged. See the little counter here? It's going to specific. We're getting way more specific in what we're doing. Yesterday, or today actually, when I was doing it with people in sport. So they are running sports shops all around the country. And they wanted, they were doing kids' products, so they wanted parents with the children between the age of 1 and I think it was 13. So we chose some of those. And then down here, we put in sports as well. And that made the audience really wide, because we suddenly have people who are interested in sports but might not be parents as well. So if we want to narrow it down again, I'm sorry, that's just a little bit blurry, but you can actually go. Exclude people or narrow your audience. So if I go narrow my audience, it says I must also like. So it's parents who also are into sports. It's not everyone plus everyone who's into sports plus parents. It's parents who are into sports. So it's really, really specific again. You know what I mean? And you know, specifically for each of yours, you have to figure out what that is. But it just narrows it down one bit more. Make sense? If you took nothing away from tonight, the best thing would be, the one thing to take away from tonight is that if you can get that narrow and engaged thing down, if you really understand the audience, like, honestly, Facebook know everything about you, whether you like it or not. They're listening to you. They're listening to us right now, probably. But like, it's not that I have engaged on my page. That's not the reason they know. They know by my behaviors. They know that I'm looking at rings. They know that I've messaged my boyfriend and said, "When's it happening? Get down on your knee. I think he's going to do it tonight. Oh my God." They're looking at everything, which is great for marketing. But just so you know, that's how they know this information. So you should be using it. It's the most effective way to market your product. If you put something in the paper, you have no idea. Rarely even have an idea who's picking that up or who's listening to something on the radio. If you put money into this, it can be really, really effective. So I'm just going to show you. So that's a few things. You go down then to the budget. So something I see a lot of people doing here is, see here, daily budget or lifetime budget. Make sure, I always make sure it's a lifetime budget, because there's times where I put in a daily budget and I thought, oh, 30 euro, and then all of a sudden I've just spent 90 quid and I'm like, whoa, that was a mistake. So I put in a lifetime budget just to keep me always right with that. Once you kind of get past all that, we go into ad, and that's where we create, either you use a post already on the page or you create a new post there. You might create a new post, I think, more so if it was something really specific and you just wanted this ad for that one audience and you didn't really want other people to see it. I often just put the post on my page and see how it goes organically for a while and then do an ad on it. And especially if it's working really good organically, I know if I'm going to boost that out, that it's going to work really well when I boost it as well. So it's a good measurement to do it. See here, you can see that my Facebook page is there, but also my Instagram account is linked. And when I go down, and I am using an existing post, so I'm just going to select any post here. See the one with the triangle? Don't use those ones, they're not going to work, so we'll use this one. Do you want more, what did I say, do you want more followers? Continue. So I can actually see here what that's going to look like on each platform. So this is what it's going to look like on Instagram. This is what it's going to look like on my Instagram feed. It's not going to look good at all. It's not going to work. Instagram Explorer video. Okay, so then I need to make sure that it looks good on all of these. Because if it doesn't, if it's not working, then I'm missing out. See that as well. See if you are doing video, try and do it landscape. Because you'll get those two things at the side if you do it vertical, just so you know. I also want to add a button here, so I want people to do a call to action. So learn more, go to my website, or send a message based on what you want them to do. Update post. I want everything at my fingertips, and I want to be able to get it quickly. You'll find people online sometimes can be more curious than serious, and it's your job to turn them into serious, but it's your job to get them to be curious, to click. Literally, I need to get to where I need to be in 2 to 3 clicks. I need to be able to send you a message and ask you everything you've already told me in the post. And then as well, just a last couple little tips, you can have now as well that you can have a pop-up of questions. So this is a messenger that sends directly to them. You can edit what that says. So can I make a purchase? I'm interested, can you tell me more? Can I learn more about your business? But you can edit that. So it can be like, what time does the event start? You know, they can directly send those things through. You can also say, hey Emma, hey John, hey Mary, so you can be more personalized about it. Something that a lot of people forget to do is this little thing here. So Facebook Pixel, who has that set up on their website? 2 people. Okay, so definitely people forget to do that. Basically, if you don't have this set up, it's a piece of code you can give to your web designer. They put it on the back end of your website. And it means that if I look at your Facebook ad and I go to your website, and then I come off it because Carnation Street is more interesting, the ad will be shown to me again because I'm obviously interested. How many times have we gone onto a website to buy something or to do something, something else has happened and we forgot about it, and then you come back on a while later and an ad's been shown to you for that exact thing? This is what it is. So make sure you have your Facebook Pixel set up, because you're missing out on sales if you don't. Facebook talks you through how to do it real, real easy, but you have to turn it on for each ad then as well.
And it's free.
Yeah, completely free. Just have to put it in the back end of your site. Before I click confirm, I always click review. Because I want to make sure that I've reached and targeted the right audience, I have a click something different. See, that's 11-year-old daily. I need to go back and change that because that could be running for the rest of my life. You know, so I need to make sure I haven't decided to spend €600 by accident instead of €60. I always make sure I do that last little bit to make sure that it's right. So that is a quick run through. I'm going to leave you just with a couple of slides and something just to show you something. Where was my... sorry, I'm looking at your stuff here, but where was my presentation?
That's it.
That one?
Yeah.
Like I said, you could do a 4-hour workshop on Facebook ads in general. But see, even if you just did those few tweaks, you didn't click boost post, you had good content, and you used the detailed targeting, used the remarketing, it will completely change. I know even for myself, when I first learned that and started doing it, I seen a massive difference in my own ads and people coming back to me. So even just using that little bit. And at the end of the day, it really is about building a relationship to get people to know, like, and trust you. It's not just about putting ads out there. If you think about it, no one really wants to be sold to. If you're just constantly seeing ads in the newspaper, it doesn't mean you're necessarily going to buy from that person. You want to build a relationship online. Those ads then add to that. They're seeing you all the time. They know they like you, but they've forgotten about you, and you're just poking them again and again and again. That's when ads really work. Why do we put our shoes on in the morning? No one knows. No one ever knows.
Just help our feet getting wet.
Yeah, people always say that. So did you ever get to 6 o'clock and say, geez, I forgot to put my shoes on? Your marketing has to be the same. This is a metaphor, by the way. Your marketing has to be the same. It has to be something you're consistently doing. That video I do on my Facebook page, I do that every Friday, and I've done so for 3 years. There's a reason I've done it every Friday for 3 years. Not that I have nothing better to do in my life on Friday, believe me. I know that I am poking people every week, and they are finding out who I am, and they're learning to know, like, and trust me, and I'm building an audience and building a relationship with them. But if I had to stop that after 5 months because I'm like, don't know if this is working, I'm not doing anymore, I would have lost people. Does McDonald's ever say, do you know what, I might stop marketing for months, see what happens? It's consistent, no matter how big they get. When it comes to marketing your business, consistency is key, and making it part of your business, making it part of your everyday, that you're doing things that build your business and build your client base. And doing things differently as well, standing out a little bit. So just to leave you with two examples of how, when I worked with myself, something I did myself and something I did with a client that really helped us, both online and offline. So I was working with a company in Northern Ireland that were a furniture store, and we had the chance to put a billboard up, and it was, DFS were beside us, and our theme was like being really comfortable, loving where you live, you know, being really comfortable in your own house, having really quirky furniture. That was our theme. And so we had that billboard beside DFS and had people sitting on a couch. And he said, my client said to me, we'll have people sitting on a couch. And I was like, no, we won't, because we're going to completely blend in with those. We're not going to stand out, and they have a massive marketing budget that they're pushing that out everywhere. So we need to do something really different. So we came up with this. This is what we had on the side of the road. So which one are you gonna turn to someone and say, did I just see a dog smoking a cigar there? Which one are you gonna Google? Which one are you gonna, in 3 seconds, pay attention to? And after that 3 seconds, they'll be talking about. Sorry. And I remember getting the designer to do it, and he was like, that's not gonna sell any sofas. And I was like, you don't get it. You're not going to sell a sofa from someone sitting on a sofa either. It would actually scare me more not to do something crazy like that, because it would be a complete waste of our time. Whenever the elections were up there, the election posters and the politicians drive me insane sometimes, because, sorry if there's anybody in here who does that, but because it's all the same. It's the same leaflets, and it's the same branding, and blah, blah, blah. And like, I was even on the radio and I was chatting about politicians, and I said, no politicians ever came to the door and asked me what I want. They've told me what they're going to do. And someone came and said, what's your problems? And I said, oh, rates. And they said, oh, we'll sort that out for you. I go, okay, you get my vote. Instead, they go, here, I'm going to fix the road you don't drive on. So anyway, my little rant's over there. But what I did was, realize this is being recorded too. What I did was I kind of played on that and something topical, and I did this. So I did my own election poster and I said, "Make your marketing great again," and "Vote Emma Boyle number one." And I actually didn't put that up anywhere. I only pretended to put it up, got my friends to take a photo of it, and then Nikki actually took a photo of it, and then I put it up online. I had politicians talking about that, I had on the radio about that, the amount of traction I got online about that. And it was just something topical, using Trump, making marketing great again, and just something that kind of made me stand out a little bit, and then I used it online as well to promote it even further. It's actually a 25-euro fine for everyone you put up, so I wasn't going to do that, it wasn't worth it. But it was using something like that topical to stand out. There's a company in Donegal Town who, you know, 50 Shades of Grey? I don't have to explain that film to you. So, okay, great. So they are a hardware store, and when 50 Shades of Grey came out, they put up the front of it and said, "We have 50% off cable ties, mask and tape, rope." Yeah. So it was just something a little bit different. They got them loads of traction online. So really, it's a mixture. It's a mixture of consistent content that builds your brand, standing out a little bit from your competitors, figuring out what makes you that little bit different, using all the tools that you have there as well, being consistent with it, using your ads, and then not being afraid to kind of take chances with it as well. So, if you're still going and not too sure what to do or whatever, for you guys here tonight, I can give you a complimentary consultation. It's 30 minutes over the phone. If you want it, pop your business card up here and I'll contact you. Other than that, I'll be checking every single one of your pages now for amazing content and ads. You'll all have election posters by the time next week. But thank you so much for listening and coming along and being a good audience.
Thank you very much for that. That was great. We have time for three questions.
One, two. Okay, great.
Yasmin?
So, my question is, when you do your videos, do you do them on your Facebook page or on your personal profile? Because I've kind of played around with both, and I get way more traction on my profile because a few people see the page. Where do you recommend would be the best place to do it?
So you're going to get more traction on your personal profile because a Facebook algorithm only allows 10% of your audience to actually see your content. What I actually do is put it on my business profile and tag myself, so it goes on to my personal Facebook, but people have to click through to my page because that's really where I want them.
Yeah.
But it depends if you're using your personal profile as a brand, like a personal brand, and you don't mind having people there as well. But I would do it to both if you're going to do it that way. And if you're doing videos as well, don't upload it to like YouTube and then upload the link to Facebook or anything like that. Upload it organically to each network. So when I do my Friday video, I organically upload it to Instagram, I organically upload it to Facebook, I put it up to LinkedIn itself, and then put it on YouTube as well. I know it's a wee bit more time, but the platforms don't like shared content. They like content that goes directly onto theirs, just a side note of that as well. So because for me, I want people to like my page. I don't, like, they can be my friend if they want, but I do want more likes on my page. I want them to be there.
Yeah.
I put my video on my Facebook page and tag myself in it, and then allow it on my own personal profile as well.
Okay, great, thank you.
James?
Yeah. Where do you recommend to divert the ad to?
In what way?
So the ad is out on Facebook. Where do you send them to in terms of, I know you're doing a video, what is it? You send them to a website, you send them to a webinar, you send them, what's the recommendation?
Again, that would be coming from the very start, what's the end goal? So do you want them to buy your product that's on your website that they can buy directly? Send them to your website. Do you want them to ask you questions about it? Do you think they're going to need to answer a few questions before they're going to just click buy? Then I would have send message button written there, because you want them to send you a message and go tell me more about this course. That's where you have the pop-up that said, tell me more about your online course, and they can click that straight away. It really depends on your goal. What is your goal? What do you want them to do? I like on social, though, as I say, they're more curious and serious. So I usually have send message because I want them to like actually send a message. But if it's something like when I'm working with a guy who's doing a comedy show at the minute, the comedy show is €20 or £20 to book. They shouldn't really need to ask too many questions. They should just click book and get it. He's got quite a good audience as well. So we just send them directly to the link to book. We actually don't really want them to message us. So again, it depends on your... So for you, would it be an online program, or is it your services? Or?
Yeah, probably coaching programs, training programs. Yeah, it's just So the same message probably would.
Same message, because you're going to have to ask questions about that.
Yeah.
And I was saying to Johnny there, like, I was doing an Instagram course a couple of weeks ago, and it was £10 to get in. And all I did a little video and said, there's only a certain amount of places left, guys, please book. It was a 10-second video, and I got 5 bookings straight away. I should then go straight to the link to book. I don't want to have to answer many questions for £10.
Well, sending them to the link to book, is there any challenge with that, or is that, like, if the link is out there, Facebook?
No, you can just put the link into your content.
Yeah.
So that's your call to action at the end. And that, actually, I did on Instagram, and I said the link was in my bio, so the link was in there as well. But make it as easy as possible.
Yeah.
And you can actually put the link on the ad as well, so when they click through, if they say learn more, they're clicking straight through to the website link. So see how I said send message? If you click learn more, the URL is there, that they can click straight through. So that's what I would do. Make it easy for them. Yeah.
So if you click the book, can they actually pay through Facebook or set up the website?
You can set it up that they can pay on Facebook or pay, depends, if through Eventbrite is what I did that event through. So they had to click through just to click through Eventbrite.
Well, they can pay through Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can set it up that way. You can put your products up there, all of them. Just so that's another day's work. Any other questions? No, we only had 3, so.
Well, sometimes I say 3 just to get things going, but we could fit in 1 or 2 more. I've made a whole bunch of sandwiches. that joke is probably worn out at this stage, 10 years later. Is there one more question? Mo?
Yeah,
I was just wondering, I've been kind of scaremongered about competitions on Facebook, and I wondered whether it is scaremongering, you shouldn't, there's a way to do it, or does it change every week?
So it changes every week, whatever, but they say it's illegal to ask people to like and share and like take down your content. It's actually happened to a client of mine before, because we went from like a couple, like I think it was like 600 likes to 5,000 because we were giving away Johnny Gall tickets, and that was a good while ago. But then the day he was a hardware store, he had now a couple of thousand people who want to go to a Johnny Gall game, not necessarily want to use his product or service. So if you're doing the competition, maybe make sure it's on brand, you've given something away. It's not just a hotel deal, it's something to do with your product or service. I would actually prefer you do something creative than just go and like and share this post to win. Because if you go onto the pages of people who like and share the post to win, I'm sure they've done it to 50 other pages as well. They're on that page to get something for free. They're not necessarily your ideal client. They're not necessarily your good follower that's following you because you have good content and they want to use your product or service. So that's what I'd say about it. And like maybe use something like when I worked with the Chamber of Commerce, we wanted more kids to come to the lights turn on. Usually it was the mayor, 5 people from the chamber, and they pressed the lights and everyone went, and it was boring. So we wanted to up it. So what we did was a competition with the kids. We got them to draw pictures of light up Letterkenny, what it looked like when it was all lit up. And the winner of that actually got to press the button. And we put all the pictures on social media. We created a whole like frenzy about it. The wee kid got to push the button, all our friends were there. It was actually the biggest in 20 years that it's ever been. But that was the competition. It was offline, we took it online. You know, just think outside the like and share to win, because it's a lazy way to do it.
And the share breaks the competition rules. I mean,
yeah,
you don't actually have to ask them to like, or you just say it's competition.
Yeah.
Or sharing is
they
caring.
Yeah.
Or
just share if you like. You say
but if you tell them like and share to enter.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you probably did 31 and a 30 today, right? You know, it's everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it legal. But if you look at the sweepstakes rules as they call it, they have no mercy if they find you. You can break other rules, but if you break that one, because essentially, if you put win a makeup set into my newsfeed by sharing, you're not upsetting me. You're putting stuff into my newsfeed as a friend that isn't of interest. And Facebook's real estate is us. We are the product. So Facebook don't want their users pissed off with irrelevant content. And this sharing is doing exactly that. So it used to be like and share, then they said it's okay to ask to like, but you still can't ask to share.
Like and comment or like and tag.
So there are plugins you can get that they can share outside of Facebook onto Facebook to enter the competition more than once. So they're not actually sharing it onto Facebook from somewhere else, so that doesn't break the rule. So there's things like Raffle Press, King Sumo, and different ones where you ask for people's name and email. You would better get 10 people's name and email than 100 people sitting at home, as Emma says, entering every competition under the sun. Because if they don't want the prize, they know somebody who they could give it to. But they're the eye on the prize, not the product.
Yeah.